got some guests coming. So I made a couple extra sheets, not too many. We'll share. You here to have a seat? Yeah. I'll maybe let Ben come in. Stand for it. Okay. Here, Shlomi and Tim. Okay. We want to welcome Yehuda, Yehuda Fuchs, and Ben Fuchs. Big welcome to Ben Cian Fuchs. So here, we're studying the Ishbitz. Every Wednesday we study a little Chassidus. So today we'll talk about potentially two pieces in the Ishbitz. I've told you before that many of the Ishbitz are very provocative, blurring the lines between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis and Bechira Chavshis. Hashem is everywhere, and He's also in your heart, He's in your heart, and He's making decisions for you. A lot of it is Alpi Kabbalah. Two of the Ishbitzes we're studying today in Shalach or not. One is purely psychological, very brief, and one is more moral. This could have been out of any Musar Sefer. It's not based on Kabbalah, as many of the other works of Chassidus are. So the Torah begins with a very, very strange series of psukim. Vayi b'shalach paras ha'am v'lanachem lakim derech etz plishtim, am Yisrael zivim etzayim, v'nei Yisrael yatsu b'yad rama. The first seven or eight psukim are very triumphant, they're very epic. They're proud psukim, like a peasant, am Yisrael is walking out of Yisrael with strength and confidence. And right in the middle, there's a very mundane pasuk about atzmos Yosef. Vayikach Moshe atzmos Yosef imo ki yeshbe yeshbiya. It's very dissonant. It's dissonant thematically, because one talks about the march out of Mitzrayim, one talks about burying bones. It's also dissonant chronologically, because Moshe ostensibly took the bones in both. We're now somewhere near the Yamsuf, so why describe an event that already took place? So there's obviously there's an insertion, as we would call it, a non sequitur, that raises our interest. Why is Atzmos Yosef? So, from a simple perspective, it just shows the heroism of Moshe. He was a very busy person, and yet, a busy person, he could still attend to details. Very often, people that are very busy in life lose attention for details, and they're not mindful of people in their lives, because they're so drawn by larger agendas. Moshe had the largest agenda imaginable, 6 million people, 3 million people, yet he remembers, of all people, not even being from Yosef's family, he's a Levi, he's going to make doing this promise. That's the moral message before we start with the Ishbitz. The Mei Shilach, the Ishbitz, says as follows. Essentially, sometimes in life, life doesn't make sense. You don't understand what Hashem wants from you. Sometimes you understand the larger picture, the smaller picture is confusing. Sometimes even the larger picture is confusing. What happens when the world appears as a mystery? The beginning of B'Shalach, I won't say it's a major mystery, but it's a minor mystery to Moshe. In the larger calculus, we're liberated, we're free, we're redeemed. But why is power chasing us? And for Moshe, power's chasing is not just the last salvo of this battle, but maybe we still haven't spiritually escaped power. Because for everything in Chassidus is iconic, it's not just empirical. So power's chasing us seems as if we haven't fully broken with power's influence. It's not just that we have a military threat on our tails, but because we were Mitzrayim submerged for so long, maybe we're still infiltrated with power, and power's chasing us is iconic, and we still haven't purged ourselves of all the power, even after all the markers. And then on top of that, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't direct them up the western coast, which would be the express lane to Israel. Express lane from Egypt to Israel, just to go right up the west coast, to Tel Aviv, or Ashdod, and Ashdod, and you're in a couple of days. Why not? Hashem doesn't have confidence in us. He's performed 10 miracles. He's brought the entire Egyptian culture to their heels. So a couple of guerrilla warfares in the west. So Moshe starts to get confounded. Because on the one hand, he senses this is a moment of gula. On the other hand, so much of it doesn't make sense. So what do you do when life is confounding? Is it the macro level or the micro level? Here's what Chassidus breaks with empirical Judaism. Empirical Judaism, you try to understand a little better. You speak to someone who's smarter than you. You look up Sefer and Tanakh, and maybe you'll get some prophetic laws and some template to help you better understand. In Chassidus, you retract. Chassidus, you pull back. You recognize, I can't understand the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's beyond me. I can't crack it. It's indecipherable. I'm going to shut down my intellect and focus on mitzvos and midos. That which I can't control. I can't control mitzvos. I can't control midos. I'll leave the larger stuff to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'll focus on the stuff I can control. You heard that phrase in mind, control what you can, let go of what you can't. I see this, it really permeates the world of Avodas Hashem. That's what's happening for Moshe. I don't understand Plishtim. I don't understand why Paro is chasing us. You know what? I'm going to take a break. This pasuk is Moshe taking a break. I'm going to work on a mitzvah. That's Ms. Yosef. And Yosef in Kabbalah stands for Yer Shemayim, because of his whole encounter with Ashes Potiphera. It's not just performing a mitzvah like, I don't know, let me do some stuff, or let me save a cat from a tree. Or, I'm going to... Vayikach Moshe, so first of all, Moshe absorbs the fact that maybe it's about him. It's a lashon pasuk, and sometimes instead of blaming other people or wandering aimlessly, why is this happening? Maybe his leadership. Doubt for the layman, his integrity for the scholar. If you're a scholar, if you're a person with real confidence religiously, then you don't mind doubting yourself. Moshe's always doubting himself. Vayikach Moshe takes it to himself. Okay, let's read some of these pieces together for those that have. It says, Ra'itza Lazeh, five lines from the bottom on the right column, Shimra, Oe Adam Shev, Shemis Baruch, Manigam Obehasta. See that Hashem is treating the world in ways that are perplexing. Az Loyar Belishakein, don't try to outsmart Hashem, you better understand it. Raki Asak Lepshita Mitzvahs, just focus on simple mitzvahs. Viyichlal Atzmav Mida Sayira, and try to just improve your Yerushamayim. Yerushamayim doesn't mean fear, it means acceptance that you can't understand Hashem. Mizeh Meikach Mechazas Was Yosef, Kiderech Hasadik. A tzaddik who has healthy self-doubt should tolach yisarim ba'atzmo. He attributes it to his own performance. Kishiyun alafan of davar safek, when something confusing happens. Vizeh enyin sholakach atzmos Yosef, ki lasher tolach yisarim ba'atzmo. He assumed that it may have been his own flaw that hadn't led to this complete victory. Lachin hachel hachis atzmo bina sayira. So he decided to perform a mitzvah, not just any mitzvah, but the mitzvah atzmos Yosef, because he wanted to improve his micro mitzvah performance, to ground himself without getting lost in the calculus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he couldn't understand. He also wanted to morally ground himself, not just with the mitzvah, but through a trait of Yerushamayim, which bows its head in the face of the unknown, indecipherable HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just say, you can't understand that, maybe one day we'll understand it. So this setup is important, and this pasuk really is an island in the middle of the larger, because it's Moshe retracting in the face of the mystery. And even Moshe Rabbeinu was mystified. He doesn't try to demystify it. He says, can't accept it. I accept that it's a mystery. That's his Yerushalmayim. I'm just going to perform mitzvahs. It's a very important concept about how we deal with life's situations when we can't fully understand that. This isn't tragic. This isn't theodicy when people suffer and good people suffer or evil. This is just when life doesn't turn out the way you expect it to. How do you anchor yourself? Because sometimes it can be very de-anchoring and very destabilizing. Moshe's anchoring himself with Yerushalmayim in the mitzvah. Number two, a very, very short piece, but it's an interesting piece, having nothing to do with Kabbalah at all, but it's just a very insightful sefer. Uvenei Yisrael Yatzu B'Yad Rama. So our image of a Yad Rama is an outstretched hand. Problem is, an outstretched hand sounds militant, sounds exhibitionist, sounds aggressive. Like if you were leaving Mitzrayim, okay, you can't put yourself in people's shoes, and you can't imagine the trauma and the tragedy they suffered 210 years, but for us, we see outstretched hands on the football field. People try to taunt each other and try to get in your face. And it's much easier like following sports at some level. Hopefully some of those movements and gestures are obscene and they're not appropriate. Again, maybe in the football field, which is a field of violence that everyone accepts it. But in general life, it's very smug to raise your hand at any level, even in triumph. Even in triumph, unless it's self-effacing, but it's very ugly. How could the Jewish people walk out of Mitzrayim and be Yad Rama? So if you look at Uncle is transitioned. It's not Yad Rama, but Beresh Gali. Beresh Gali means confidence. So the Ishvitz is instructing us that Uncle is trying to recalibrate. Look at that little piece of Vinei Yisrael on the right part of the next page. Okay, Vinei Yisrael, Yatsu B'Yad Rama, Targimu Beresh Gali. In an open setting. Haino, Lo B'Yad Rama Neged Acherim. They weren't taunting other people, Begaiva, with egotism, uvigeyos, and haughtiness, rakshim b'necharim. They were free. B'liyira v'fachad, confident, without any fear, mishem adam. It's a very, very delicate balance limit. Obviously, not just when you raise your hand or don't raise your hand. How do you calibrate the balance between being confident and not being haughty? Really hard. How do you show your confidence in a way that can inspire others without it being condescending and cocky? Okay, so take it down from the national level and the historical moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You want to feel confident in yourself, and to a degree you want to breathe confidence. People in this world are looking for confident people. People are struggling. They feel as a confident father figure or husband or an older person. Don't worry, we'll solve it. It'll be all right. So you want to share your confidence with people who are going through difficult moments. But people will say, don't worry, Mirth Hashem's illness. So there has to be healthy confidence, but it can't be a mission, all-knowing, don't worry, or trivializing of other people's suffering. So it's a very it's a very psychological institute, which has nothing to do with Kabbalah, it just has to do with how we process our interactions. Okay, have a good day, everyone. Welcome. Tomorrow, Rambam Hilchos Nashim. Tomorrow morning. Good morning.